Hey everybody, the experiment continues. Welcome to an early morning post nor'easter episode of the Loftus Party. Yesterday was the big nor'easter. It was kind of crazy. I actually expected more. I've been on Long Island. I've been on Long Island for a while. People were ready for like an explosion of cold liquids from the sky. I was ready for really, really bad stuff. However, I grew up in Ohio. It was really windy, is what it was. It was snowy. It was rainy. The interesting thing, I had never had snow quite this texture. It was like a slushy machine. It was like being inside a machine. It was like the snow didn't know what it wanted to be. Am I rain? Am I snow? I'm confused. It was like being hit in the face with someone who had dipped a straw in a slushy and was flinging it at you, like a million of those people. So I survived. We survived. We got the Oscars going on tomorrow. Everybody's busy. Everybody's got something going on. So I'm flying solo. It's very early. Had a crazy late night, but I'm digging this. I'm digging this new style. And I want to see if I can do it. It's like I'm having my Rocky moment where I want to be able to prove that I can do this. Okay, so here's what's going on. I'm looking at the stories of the week. We'll do like a little news thing. We've got an interview with Cheryl Atkinson. If you don't know who Cheryl Atkinson is, you'll dig this interview with her. She used to be a CBS News reporter, investigative journalist. She's got her own show now with it's syndicated by Sinclair Media. So she was spied on by, we think it was like the FBI, CIA, NSA, not sure. But she's still trying to get through that. So it's a good little warning to realize that we don't want our government weaponized against us. We want to have transparency. And that's my Long Island voice. That could be my go-to. I got a little bit of a cold, and so I might be. This is the character Linda, and she might be showing up a lot today. There could be a lot of coughing as well. So yeah, the other day Trump was talking about a trade war. I guess I want to talk about guns again. I want to talk about the kids, these rascally kids who magically. I'm going to that voice a little bit too often. I'm sorry. These rascally kids down in Florida who just spontaneously made all this wonderful stuff happen. They're finding out now that there's a lot of big money behind them. You always get when here's what should have been the tip off. Let's talk about this. I do these vlogs every week, and I was asking some of the people that are on board over the Loftus Party, like, you know, what should I go with? What should I go with? I ended up doing it's kind of a fluffy little piece about this this woman who turned into a man, who turned into a gay man, who now is becoming a dragon. And so the whole thing was supposed to be a metaphor of like, slow your roll. Let's not make decisions really fast, because sometimes your decisions are wrong. And I thought it was a wonderful metaphor. I think maybe I missed on that one and not a lot of people got it. But oh, well, what are you going to do? So, there was a couple members of the Loftus Party family were like, you should do a thing about the kids in Parkland. And then some other people were like, no, don't do anything about the kids in Parkland. And it's a hot button. So I didn't. I totally punted because I don't like the vlogs to be long. I like to keep them short. Bing, bang, boom. I get in, I get some jokes, get some laughs, and then get out. So I did a little bit of research, though, on the kids down in Parkland. And they're everywhere. And they are, and like everybody, all the media is just like, boy, these kids, and you can't say anything bad about them for the love of God. They went to school one day, and then a guy just started killing everybody. So not a lot of comedy there. That's like, you would not call that a high comedy area. However, and I don't know where the jokes are yet, these kids are all over CNN and ABC and the big news. And they're wonderful kids, and everybody's, oh, they're so well-spoken, and they're camera-friendly. Yeah, of course they are. That's just how it is now. However, you've got – these kids are setting up foundations, and then they're doing marches and they're organizing. Not to say that kids are not capable of that, but like Oprah Winfrey donated like $500,000 to these guys. George Clooney donated $500,000, which is wonderful. But if like, if I'm 16, like how does a 16, what would you even do with that money? Well, it turns out they've had some help. They've had some help from Debbie Wasserman Schultz. They've had help from the local Democratic. It's a wonderful, I wouldn't say wonderful. I got to pick my words very carefully. It's a little opportunistic. And so these kids want change. They want to say stuff. I say now they're, we're allowed to make fun of them. I think it's been long enough. We're allowed to make fun of them. And once you put yourself out there as I'm the face of a generation and I'm the voice of the uplifting student movement, we can make fun of you now. Now you're making a choice. You're taking up the mantle of I'm going to do guns. I'm going to solve this. People, and they're organizing boycotts. Oh my gosh, this is hilarious. This is hilarious. Delta, holy crap. So Delta, in a massive form of virtue signaling, they're like, we're no longer partnering with the NRA. We are done with that partnership. We are done. Of course, that's how I'm putting my spin on it. So I guess if you were a member of the NRA and you booked a ticket, you could enter some kind of code if you were in the NRA and you could save a couple bucks. Well, Delta wanted very quickly to be, we're not part of the NRA and they have a Department of Virtue Signaling. So they ended that crap, buddy. They ended that crap, buddy. We're not going to help the NRA. Those guys are assholes. Linda's back. So they stopped the program. And it turns out only 13 people used it last year. In all of 2017, only 13 members of the NRA got their little discount at Delta. So as a result, I guess some lawmaker down in Georgia where Delta has a hub or a factory or Lord knows what, they're like, hey, you want to take a swing at NRA members? We're going to punch back. Boom. There goes your little tax break. There goes your little tax break, Delta. So Delta is going to end up losing, they say, up to $40 million. Up to four. Now, of course, Delta can hit back, right? It's now Delta can go, well, we're going to close up shop in Georgia. But right now, I say the good guys won. That is hilarious. Hilarious. Don't be too quick to make these big decisions, you guys. You are not a dragon. That was the name of the video. You are not a dragon. Don't be so quick to make these decisions. Okay, so I hereby declare that the Parkland kids who are on TV and talking like kids will talk, there's a reason. There's a reason you don't let 16-year-olds vote. And it's becoming clear that these kids are like, we shouldn't use FedEx anymore. Let's use this. Let's boycott. Everybody's so quick to boycott. Calm down. Calm down. And then I'd like to state this for the record, too. AR and AR-15 found this out. This is me being ignorant. Everybody thinks that stands for automatic rifle. It does not. It's actually, I believe, has something to do with the name of the manufacturer. So that was fantastic. So the gun war thing goes on. I guess Mitch McConnell punted on that. Good. You know what I say? Good for him. Good for him. Let's calm down. Look at the situation. I think everybody can probably agree. Bump stocks when you can. And Lord, once again, I'm just an ignorant Joe. I don't even know what a bump stock does. I don't even know anything about the Las Vegas shooter. Have we totally forgotten about that guy? It's one of those things where I like to follow these things up. I really should. Like we know everything about the kid in Parkland. We know everything about this Nicholas Cruz kid. And I'm still angry. If you want to talk about anger, I'm waking up. This is better than coffee. It's very early in the morning, and my little adrenaline glands are kicking in now. I'm getting fired up. Like we know everything about this Nicholas Cruz kid. We know that the cops were called. They're saying now 40 sometimes. We know that the system failed. So the system that everybody wants to throw more money at, well, it's a money thing. They need more money. That system has failed on an epic level. Do we have a problem with AR-15s? Do we have a problem with high magazine capacity, blah, blah, blah? Yeah, I guess maybe we do. Let's take a look at that. Let's take a look. Do I love the Second Amendment? Do I want people to be able to have the right to keep and bear arms? You betcha. You betcha. So we covered that last week. Here's some even more tragic events from our Let's Follow Up department. The Nicholas Cruz kid has filed papers in Florida. He wants to inherit his mother's estate. Now, his mom has died. His dad died back in 2014, and he's got a brother, I guess. But Nicholas is the oldest one, so he's trying to get the money. There's like his mom's estate is like $800,000. So this Nicholas Cruz douche is going to, well, first of all, he's a mass murderer, and now he's trying to get his hands on $800,000. If I was his little brother, I'd be so pissed. Like, you've ruined my life. So the name in Florida is always going to be, oh, okay, that's the name of a killer, and then you're going to take my only hope for a future. So Nicholas Cruz, still not done ruining people's lives. He's going to try to take $800,000 away from his little brother. That's a lot of dough. In Florida, you're a millionaire. Oh, here's another one from the I Like to Follow It Up. The Pulse nightclub killer, his wife. I always thought, like, what did she know? What's the deal with her? And I didn't know this. She's on trial. She's they're in jury selections right now. And good. Let's find out what she knew. Of course, now she's the victim. We'll see what happens. Of course, I'm totally judging her. This is great. I'm going to totally. She's guilty. She's a witch. Burn her. She's saying that she had nothing to do with it. She didn't know. Of course, I'm sure she was beaten and she was mentally tortured and she's a complete victim. But let's find out. But I always wondered that. Like, did they ever follow up with that chick? And yes. Yes, they have. Oh, my goodness. I'm not fighting a cold. I'll tell you that. I'm not doing that. I'm looking through my notebook here. This is wonderful. The trade war. Okay, let's talk about the trade war. Let's get into the trade war. This is a wonderful – this is – to me, it's an epic battle between the Harvard types and the regular people. I really want to see how this plays out. Trump comes out the other day and he's like, hey, we got to protect steel. We got to protect aluminum. Without those industries, if you're not making steel, you're not making aluminum, we are in big problem. You don't really have a country if you don't have that. And then he's like, trade war. It's easy, which I'm sure most economists would agree that trade wars are not easy. Here's the great thing. I'm not an economist, and I want to see these people. I want to see these people try to explain. It's like a Three Stooges. I want to watch these people on TV try to explain these very complex systems. Like, everybody's making it try to sound like it's bad for Trump. Oh, this is bad for Trump. He's starting a trade war. This will get more expensive. Soup. The cost of this, that'll go up. But have good luck. Good luck. When you're trying to explain that to people who work in the steel and the aluminum industry, the people who are like, wow, this would be great. Because on the one hand, you've got Trump going, I want to protect your job, Mr. and Mrs. Steel industry guy. And then you're going to have the Harvard Yale types going, I don't think you understand. If the index of the cost manufacturing bleep blorp, and according to the blah, 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 it'll be wonderful. And then you'll have Trump just going, listen, I'm just saying, we got to protect these jobs. He sounds – this is what everybody always forgot. And this will be when I think like the hardcore – we've got the far right, never Trumpers, who've always hated Trump and they always will. This is when they're going to be gleeful, because this is a – people forget Donald Trump was like the most liberal of all the candidates for president. And he's about to do some very, very liberal sounding stuff. With these guns, we got to raise the age of guns. We got to get these guns off the street. You're gonna have the Bill Crystals of the world going, see, I told you so. I'm not going to be surprised. I'm not. I knew this was coming. I knew there was going to be some very liberal balloons floated by Trump. We got to protect these jobs. I don't care. We got to protect these jobs. Blah, blah, blah. The steal. So a lot of people on the right are going to be unhappy with Trump. I saw it coming. I'm not going to freak out. And it's not like Trump is an emperor. It's not like he can go, I declare a trade war, blah, blah, and then just fire it up. I believe there's checks and balances for this kind of thing. So Trumpkin. I'm not a Trumpkin. I'm just not surprised by any of this stuff. I'm just not surprised. Some dude on Facebook called me a Trumpkin the other day, and whatever. That's fine. There's a dude. This guy's about to not get famous. There's a guy who hates on all my little videos. He just hates them. And I'm always like, I'm very cool with the dude. I'm like, hey, man, whatever. He says something really smarmy. And I believe you catch more flies with honey. And life is too short. And why engage in these senseless? This guy turns out used to work at NASA. He's a NASA historian. And we agree. We have common ground. Here's a little lovely moment. The dude used to work at NASA, and my little video about Elon Musk and the Falcon Heavy rocket. He's excited about that. I'm excited about that. There's more that unites us than divides us. It's a wonderful little Shangri-La moment. A little kumbaya. A little Hakuna Matata. Okay. This is my before I get out of this segment. I want to give some more advice to the media. Stop with the every day attacking Trump. Here's what the media does. They go, oh, every day he does them. Every day he does. No. You need to relax. Here's why. The more you do it, it's, you know, I've said it before on the show, and I'm saying it again this morning, evidently. When you come at him every day, we just get numb to it. We're just numb to it. And they're like, well, you're just a Trumpkin. You're just a Trumpkin that just accepts anything. No, I'm bored by, like, if I open up my window and it's raining, and then the next day I go out and it's raining, and the next day I go out, it's raining, and the next day I go out, it's raining, it's raining, it's raining, it's raining. And then one day you're like, aren't you freaked out? It's raining. I'm like, no, I'm not freaked out by it at all. Get over it. And they're like, but it's wet. It's water falling. Like, shut up. If you don't have an umbrella, you're a moron. So by just it's funny to watch Morning Joe and to look at the newspapers and to read these headlines. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Hope Hicks is out. Hope Hicks is gone. She's freaking out. She left in tears. I'm like, OK, I'm done with the White House palace intrigue stories. I'm done. Oh, Jared Kushner. He got his top secret Uber quadruple security clearance revoked. I remember when you guys were mad that he had it. You can go back and look at stories of a few weeks ago. Why does Jared Kushner have quadruple top secret security clearance? This is the end of the world. And then a few weeks later, you're like, okay, cool. So he doesn't have the top secret clearance. Why did he get his security clearance revoked? It's the end of the world. Now I'm the Charmin guy. Lucy, Miss Ricardo, why doesn't Jared Kushner have his top secret security clearance? I'm not going to get freaked out by it. I think it's all going swimmingly. It's going somewhat predictably. Trump wants people to like him. It's not that tough to figure out. It's not. This is who he has always been. There's a big gun. There's a big shooting. And then Trump has one of those meetings like, let's do something about guns. People are like, oh, wait, the Second Amendment. They're going to take all the guns. There's no way they're going to take all the guns. There's no way. And I see people on Facebook and on Twitter talking about, here they go. There is no way. Here's the deal. The people who believe in the Second Amendment and the members of the NRA, they have all the guns and they practice all the time. And that's not a threat or anything. I'm just saying that's the way it is. So let's not freak out. No one's going to come and take all our guns. But is Trump going to try to give the left like some common sense solutions? Of course. That's part of the whole dance. So Don't freak out, you guys. It's going very well. Wow, that was the news. Solo news. Han Solo news. This deal keeps getting better all the time. We'll be back after a little interview with Cheryl Atkinson. Hang on to this one. Hang on to your hats for this one. And then we'll talk Oscars. Oscars.
The Flip Side with Michael Loftus is brought to you by Islam, keeping the world safe from dangerous cartoons.
Thunder! The thunder! Welcome back to The Flip Side. I'm Michael Loftus. We're very fortunate because joining me right now is Cheryl Atkinson. She's an investigative reporter who was at CBS for many years, and she's won all kinds of Emmys for her work, her investigative reports. She's got a new book out called Stonewalled. It's fantastic. So please help me welcome Cheryl Atkinson. She's here. Hey, thanks for coming and joining
Thank
us
you.
At the clubhouse.
We redecorated. I found you. I was lost back there, kind of wandering around.
I know. There's the library and the billiard room and
awesome.
The holodeck. Just a quick overview. Tell us in short what happened.
In the middle of a lot of pushback for this kind of hard-nosed reporting that I was doing and was known for, my producer and I, some sources approached us and said that we were probably likely being monitored, at least I and my family perhaps, because of the type of reporting that I was done. And these sources who were familiar with government practices said that the government was pushing the envelope as in surveillance of private citizens like they had never seen, and they were concerned. This is before we knew about what the government was doing to Associated Press reporters and the Fox News reporter and so on.
The beginning of this book, it's like a spy novel. And there's like this crazy wire hanging out of the Verizon box, and you have a guy come out, like it was like New Year's Day or something.
Yes, right.
And the guy shows up and like, what's Verizon doing there on the New Year's Day? And I'm reading the book, I'm like, that guy's not from Verizon. He's not from Verizon.
When he came to my house, he handed me a business card handwritten with his name on it.
Yeah, that should be a sign, Cheryl. Well, a handwritten business card.
I'm told they do that sometimes.
Yeah, well, the CIA doesn't go to Vistaprint.
I told him to leave the cable that he removed, the Fios wire, because I was going to have it looked at by somebody. And when I went back to check where he had put it later, when my husband actually went out to look, it was gone. So somebody took it. So I called Mr. Verizon Man every day almost for 30 days, sometimes twice a day, just to follow up with him. And, you know, he went from saying, I'm your guy, to never returning any of my calls.
I was very angry with you. And I'm reading the book. Yeah, keep the wire!
Up to that point, there were a lot of strange things, but I really never dreamed, A, that the government or anybody would be surveilling me, and B, that we would find evidence of it. But there's very little outrage. I mean, I feel like it's just almost sort of accepted that, yes, this is what happens today.
Yes.
Journalists kind of accept, my colleagues, because I speak to them, they assume the government could be looking in on their work, but there's not the sense of outrage that you would expect.
That's what I wanted to talk about. People are just like, the government was in there and they were looking at your stuff and they were hacking and they were listening to your phone conversations and they were probably hacked into your Skype as well and they broke into CBS and
We haven't done a great job of getting together and doing something about these things that we see as erosion of very crucial rights in this country, public rights and press rights. And there's been this unprecedented crackdown on anybody inside the government who might be telling the truth about these sorts of things. They are not to talk to journalists. They may be prosecuted for doing so. It's a big chill.
I guess the Obama administration tried to like paint you as a big, just like a conspiracy theorist.
There's key words they use. I mean, I talk about this in the book. It's not just me and it's not just the Obama administration, but there are key strategies that are used now, tactics that are employed, propaganda and PR tactics. When there's a story that they don't like, instead of just attacking the facts, which can be very difficult, they controversialize, you know, the entire news outlet that may be publishing the story, the whistleblower telling the truth, the reporter who's reporting on it. They create this whole air of attacking the person exposing the wrongdoing rather than questioning the wrongdoers.
Yeah.
And that's sort of a key hallmark. When you see that happening, you can bet that something's going on behind the scenes.
Well, it's awesome being a conspiracy nut. I hear that their parties are fantastic. Really hard
to get into. We should go to one together.
I would love to.
But we'd have to go through the clearance process. That's probably
Absolutely.
Really hard.
I find it hard to believe that actually got any traction with the press and the people, because you've got a really solid background of being very fair. Rachel Maddow on MSNBC was like literally cheering you on. You know, go, Cheryl, go. Right. I mean, I think we have a clip of that, and I think it bears watching.
Please do not assume that if a company contributes to the foundation, that somehow that's some type of influence upon what I'm about to do.
No influence, you say? This is your cue, Cheryl Atkinson of CBS. Go, 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 go.
In 07, you helped kill a three-year ban.
Well, the reason she was cheering me on, that was an investigation I did on a Republican congressman, someone she had been following, his missteps and alleged misdeeds, and I was doing a story on his allegedly fake charity. Anyway, for a seven-minute-long segment, she loved it, of course, and I appreciated the feedback.
Yeah.
And that was not controversial. When she complimented my reporting, internally, nobody at CBS at the time that I heard was saying, we don't like it that the liberals like you.
Right.
But when conservatives would compliment a story that I did, I got this feeling that they really didn't like that if a conservative would compliment a story that I was sort of on the wrong side of things.
But that's what you do. You attack a Republican to throw them off the trail that you're really a Republican throwing off the left wing. See what you do? You double back and you double down on that. Then they never know.
For more years, I was called a liberal by Media Research Center and others who are watching my reporting. And so the last year or two, or since I've been doing the Obama administration reporting primarily, I've been called more often a conservative.
We'll talk about that more at the conspiracy meeting, which is still unannounced.
I know. We'll edit that part out.
How come these tactics have worked so well for the Obama administration?
We're just so busy covering our stories. We're not prepared. And I would argue we just don't have the defenses in place that when we're attacked in this way, we don't really know what to do with it. And we kind of, to some degree, succumb to it.
Well, you know who does pay attention? People who watch this show. Tell me you'll come back and do another episode of the show.
I will absolutely do that.
There you go. Stick around. We've got more show coming up. I'm Michael Loftus. You're watching The Flip Side. Stonewall, go get it right now.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So that was Cheryl Atkinson. That one, she's a nice lady. She's wonderful. She was spied on, and she's still using the freedom of information and FOIA requests and blah, blah, blah to try to figure out what's going on. Terrifying, terrifying notion. Okay, so here's the latest thing. I didn't do this because I'm lazy. I did it because this is something that I kind of wanted to do for a long time. And now I'm a little lazy. I knew I was going to be recording early. It's a segment called The Post. It's called Check In With The Post. I got a copy of the New York Post last night, flipping through, looking for some articles. And I should have done this at the top of the show. Who knows? Maybe through the miracle of editing, we can move this around. So Vladimir Putin, this bad guy, announced all his new missiles, all the new Russia stuff. He's like, I want to tell all those who have fueled the arms race over the last 15 years, sought to win unilateral advantages over Russia, introduced unlawful sanctions aimed to contain our country's development. All what you wanted to impede with your policies have already happened. You have failed to contain Russia. So he's got a bunch of new missiles. He's got, you see, I think he's full of crap. I really think he's lying. But he's like, he's got some supersonic missile that can evade missile defense system. He's got the missile can be launched from submarine, do X, Y, and Z. He's got another missile that can be launched from space station, whatever. However, I hope he's lying. I hope he's lying. I know we were kind of playing it fast and loose back in the 80s with the Strategic Defense Initiative, Star Wars. We were saying it could do stuff that it really couldn't. Hopefully Vlad is lying here. But here's the deal. We've been slapping sanctions on these cats in Mother Russia for the last 15 years under a couple of different presidents. And everybody's like, see, it's working. And they've agreed that they're not going to do anything. And see, they're okay. And then you've got Obama's famous, you know, hey, the 1980s called and they want their foreign policy back. Well, it turns out they were lying the whole time and they were secretly developing these missile systems. So, let that be a lesson to everybody. There's a reason that there's hawks on the left and there's hawks on the right. There's a very good chance they're lying and they're developing these secret weapons. So, bum ba da bum bum bum. We'll see what happens. Oh, and just another little update. I'm liking the little updates. When Donald Trump Jr., his wife opened up that little envelope full of white powder, they got that guy. they found out who that dude was, and he got under he got under arrest. Yeah, he was arrested. There's a picture of him in the Post. He looks like a real winner. He's a fan of the Royals, not the Kansas City Royals, like the royal family. So, oh, here's another thing I want to do. Let's play. How much for that apartment? If you guys think this is just a little real estate check-in, a 26-foot wide. That's 26 feet wide. This is in the real estate section. That's how big the apartment is. 26 feet wide. That seems a little narrow to me. It's got a sunken garden, a rooftop terrace. Okay. 11.9 million. 11.9 million. Welcome to the neighborhood. That's in, well, it's not insane. I guess it actually looks lovely in the picture. Okay, so it's time for the Oscars. I'm going to make a bunch of Oscar predictions. I haven't seen any of these movies. The Phantom Thread, Daniel Day-Lewis, the My Left Foot guy, they're saying 100-1. 100-1 for Best Picture. Darkest Hour. Boom, boom, boom. Darkest Hour. I don't even know. Oh, that's the Winston Churchill one. I need to see that. 100-1. Gary Oldman looked great in that. They'll win makeup. Boom. I'm calling it. Darkest Hour wins makeup. Call Me By Your Name. I don't even know what that one. This is how out of touch. And this is sad because I work in show business and I should carve out time and I should know what the heck I'm talking about. Call Me By Your Name. I think that's the young kid growing up and I'm going to be gay now, or I'm learning how to be gay. Probably a very important movie. Probably the most important movie of the summer. 65-1. The Post. That's the man of the Washington Post. Democracy Dies in Darkness. 1970s. Tommy Hanks. Meryl Streep. All-star cast. I think it made $4 at the box office. Because that's what we need. That's what I think America has been in the mood for. A 1970s Washington Post. Aren't reporters brave? Aren't reporters brave? Yeah, we're looking forward to that. 65-1. Dunkirk. I actually saw that one. For Best Picture, I don't think there's any way it wins Best Picture. The odds on that are 43-1. That was a great flick. It is the it's like if Pulp Fiction and Saving Private Ryan had a baby, it would be Dunkirk. But Kenneth Branagh took me out of the movie. It was so weird. Everyone else, I'm watching Dunkirk. It's amazing. I'm like, ooh, I don't know that guy. Who's that guy? So it was like, ooh, these are real people. You know, I like it when they cast nobodies in like war movies. And then all of a sudden you see, oh, gosh, there's Kenneth Branagh. It just took me out of it. Nothing against Kenneth Branagh. He's a perfectly fine actor, wonderful director. He directed the first Thor. But I'm off on a tangent. Not going to go there. And then Harry Styles. That one kind of took me out of it, too. That one's going off at 43-1. Lady Bird, another very important movie. A young girl finding her way in the world. Blah, blah. I guess you still have to make these movies. And I'm glad, I guess, someone is. However, yeah, I don't think Lady Bird's going to be her best picture. Get Out, the Twilight Zone episode turned feature film. Where if you're a black guy in the South, the white people hypnotize you into submission. That's a super fun idea for a movie. It's creepy. I haven't seen it. It looks like a really crazy, creepy horror movie. Good for them. I that guy from Key and Peele, super funny dude. I guess they made that movie for a nickel and it's doing well. But if you think you're going to win the Oscar, I don't think it's going to happen. The Shape of Water, Guillermo del Toro. That's the odds are 9-5 on that one. That's looking pretty good. Pretty good. The Shape of, I like Guillermo del Toro. I just like that guy. I like the look of his movies. I liked Hellboy. And here's the fun thing. And Hellboy, I guess he's kind of playing around with, there was a couple lovely scenes, a couple of really nice scenes with Selma Blair and the guy in the fish man in the tank. So maybe that's – I like to think that these guys were playing around with these ideas. Evidently, Guillermo del Toro, when he was a little kid, just like me, when I saw Creature from the Black Lagoon, I thought it was heartbreaking. It's like King Kong. King Kong falls in love with this woman. He'll do anything to protect her, and ultimately he dies. Creature from the Black Lagoon, same thing. The creature falls for this human lady. It can't be. And I can't even remember in the end, maybe if he escaped or if he didn't, maybe the creature was killed. But I remember feeling bad for the Creature from the Black Lagoon. So Guillermo del Toro, I guess it's like his little sequel to that. Like, what would have happened next and blah, blah, blah. I want to see Shape of Water. Maybe Best Picture, but the one that's going to win, I really think this. Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. That's got Oscar written all over it. And people go, oh, my gosh, she's Frances McDormand. She's won before and this and that. But it's like one of those, it just seems like it's that movie. It's, yeah, there's this and there's that and there's quirkiness. And it's just like a good old timey movie. It's not a big superhero thing. So that's what the Post is predicting is going to win. And that's what I am predicting is going to win, too. These movies... Here's what I think is – I'll make this prediction now too. This is what I like about it. It's just – I think that Netflix and the streaming services are going to take up the slack where movies – like you don't have like small – you do have small movies, like little romantic comedies. I want to have romantic comedies. They're good movies. It can't all be superhero stuff all the time. And I love the superhero stuff. We're in the golden age of superhero movies. However, everybody's like, oh, those movies are gone. Friends of mine who are in the industry, they're like, those movies are gone. No, Netflix will make them. People will still make these movies. They'll make these smaller budgeted, and it's insane, but I'm about to say it, like a $35 million movie. And boom, it'll go to Netflix. It'll go to Amazon. Those movies will always be around. Everybody's like, Pretty Woman wouldn't get made today. Pretty Woman would – well, it might be a little harder to make, but one of them just has to make money. That's all it – and it'll happen. Everybody – boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl at the end. It's all good and wonderful. Okay. So, was there more Oscar stuff? Oh my gosh! I wanted to talk about Red Sparrow. That's hilarious. They hated it. The Post. I should do the Post one Sunday and then do like the New York Times the next Sunday. I think I might do that next week. Just rail on the Times. There's a big – listen, they've got a thing here about this new movie, A Wrinkle in Time, the beloved children's book, A Wrinkle in Time, and it makes me not want to see it. They're talking about how wonderful the costumes are and the look, and oh, here's Mindy Kaling, who looks like a Japanese lady got rolled around in New Delhi, and like, it makes me not want to see it. When you start talking about here's how – look how cool the costumes are. I don't care. Does it take me away? Does it take me away? Okay. Red Sparrow. I kind of wanted to see Red Sparrow. I'm a Jennifer Lawrence fan, but boy, oh boy, did they hate it. Now I want to see it for this line of dialogue. I guess at some point in the movie, someone's like, do you know how long it takes to peel the skin from a human body? And I guess we're supposed to be shocked by that. But like, it's all very... it's all very Silence of the Lambs. Oh, wait, was she a great big fat person? So I guess the dialogue is really clunky. At one point, Jennifer Lawrence is mad at somebody, and she's like, "You sent me to whore school!" Because they have to train. She's a deadly assassin, right? So she has to know how to kill people, and she has to know how to like get men to submit to her Russian ways. And she gets mad at her handlers. She's like, "You sent me to whore school." And now there's a part of me that like, I want to see that movie. I want to see whore school. Whore school with Jennifer Lawrence. So hopefully it makes a lot of money. I don't know. So I guess she's a ballerina. I'll take it. I'll take it. If she's like a ballerina that can kill people, I'm in for that. Hopefully there's a little bit of nudity. I'm in for that. Hopefully there's some hot like ballerina on ballerina sex, like Natalie Portman and Black. I'm all for that. I got a thing. I'll tell you, this is great. It's a little confession. I got a thing for the ballerinas. I got a thing for the tutu. I don't know. Give me a hot ballerina any day. I don't necessarily want a ballerina who can kill me. I'm not cool with that, but I'm into the whole ballerina. So I guess the same guy who trained Natalie Portman for Black Swan trained J-Law, Jennifer Lawrence, for Red Sparrow. Which now I'm seeing, maybe you guys probably got to it before I did, Black Swan, Red Sparrow. Are these movies connected? Yes, some dude trained them both. We got Death Wish coming out. Death Wish with Bruce Willis. I want this to be good. I want this to be good so bad, but I think it's got a flaw. I think it's got like, when in the previews they show Bruce Willis, he's about to kill a guy. There's a guy under a car, and the guy's like, "Don't kill me, don't kill me." And then Bruce Willis is like, "I'm not going to kill you. Jack's going to kill you." Boom, and he lowers the car on the guy, and that, I don't like that. You got to go back to this needs to be, I don't want my Death Wish to have like a little wink to it and a little like Arnold Schwarzenegger, I say the cute thing before I kill you. I want that old school 1970s Charles Bronson, "You killed my wife, you punk," bang, and then you just take him out. I want, I like it when the, like the old Clint Eastwood, the man with no name, he wouldn't even say anything. And it would make the people he was about to kill, they'd be, "Just say something. Like Dirty Harry. Come on, man, come on." But then Dirty Harry started talking too much. I want to get back to the vigilante who doesn't talk and it drives people crazy. The Batman of it all. This is fun. I'm having maybe more fun than you guys. They're rolling through. Bill de Blasio. I don't want to get into Bill de Blasio. That dude is just boring. I can't. They really, you guys have no idea how much they don't like Bill de Blasio here. It's kind of wonderful. Oh, some kid in Morgantown, West Virginia got drunk the other night and decided to take an Uber to New Jersey. It cost him $1,600. He'll probably fight to not pay that. Careful with the Uber button, everybody. Careful with the Uber button. Okay, now I'm going to go back to The Notebook. I'll wrap it up with The Notebook. I was going to call my New York Post segment Going Postal, where the Post report. I might have overthought that. These are more thoughts from the Comedy Notebook. Oh, my gosh. And I'm so glad I write these things down. Shamrock Shakes are back. People where I work are making fun of me. I don't care. I'm going to have a Shamrock Shake today. They're delicious. Thank you, McDonald's. I always look forward to Shamrock Shake season. It occurred to me the other day. This is hilarious. I wrote this down. It's very important. Hillary Clinton is like a penguin that's been raised by people to be mean. Like, if you look at Hillary Clinton, if she was an animal, she would be a penguin. But she'd be a mean penguin. And you'd think, like, how did she get so mean? It's because she was raised by other penguins, and now raised by people, and now she's got to live with all the other penguins. Like, she has to return to normal life, and she's just being super mean to the other penguins. There's comedy there, trust me. Oh my gosh! And then I wrote a Viagra joke. I apologize for this. You always see on the Viagra. This is like the hackiest thing ever for a comedian. This is like a deep dark confession. This is like me reading from my journal. You always see on the Viagra commercials, "Hey, ask your doctor if your heart is healthy enough for sex." And then it occurred to me, like, should we be more specific on the kind of sex? Because, like, it should be like the style in which you bang. It's like, ask your doctor if your heart is healthy enough for, like, missionary. You'll probably, and then ask your doctor if your heart is healthy enough for getting hung up by your arms and having a dominatrix beat the hell out of you. ask your doctor if your heart is enough to tickle a girl until she pees herself. You're like, there's always, ask your heart, ask your doctor if your heart is healthy enough for a little light bondage and discipline. There's something super funny there, you guys. Come on. I got to go through Ebola. I don't know if I did this last week. I've got it written. I did it on stage. No, I didn't do it on stage. Ebola. Whatever happened? We cured Ebola. Are we done with Ebola? Sounded like the friendliest of all the viruses. I think we should have a law where you have to give these things crazier name. You know, like I've got the swine flu. There's a little bit of danger there. Ebola, really deadly, but sounded kind of friendly. What do you got there? Ebola. It sounds like a breakfast cereal. I'm going to have Ebola. I'm going to have Ebola. Okay, that is the show. Enjoy the Oscars. I can't wait to listen to this one. It's a crazy experiment. We've got wonderful things going on, wonderful things coming up. And I explain myself. It's fun. People are like, isn't he going off on guns? Here's I'll explain this. This is a wonderful way to close the show. Here's why I didn't go off on guns, because it's social. There's no room for comedy there. And then people get fired. People lose their jobs. I got to fly under the radar for a little bit. I don't want to go off on any big thing. People are always, why did you go off? Just go off. I get that all the time. I'm never just going to just go off and do a knee-jerk reaction. Mike Huckabee, you know, the delightful Mike Huckabee, the former Arkansas guy, they just kicked him off the board of the CMAs, the Country Music Association. They got rid of Mike Huckabee. Now, why? Because he's pro-family and he's conservative. I don't know what the reasoning is, but I think he's just too vocal. So if wow, there was a strange noise. That I think maybe my producer was using an electric shaver. But if you thought you heard a weird vibrator in the background, I think that was an electric shaver. That's hilarious. Mike Huckabee, they kicked him off of the board of the CMAs. So that can, so if Mike and the country music, what's more conservative than the country music, or it used to be? What was more like God, flag, and country and all that stuff than country music? And if they're kicking off Mike Huckabee, what the heck did that guy ever do wrong? What did he ever want to do? So it's dangerous out there. Google is changing their algorithm. YouTube's changing their algorithm. Twitter's still getting rid of people. It is, you got to lie low for a little bit. There's too much to risk. I think we can catch more flies with honey than we can by foot stomping and fist shaking. So for more honey talk, for more honey talk and less fist shaking and foot stomping, tune in next week. You guys are the best. Enjoy the Oscars. Enjoy the rest of your week. I survived the nor'easter, but now I've got a cold. I'll see you next time.